Okay, so I want to start with the Mishnah now. We did the last 2 weeks, we did a, kind of an introduction. We've had three shiurim so far. The first one we discussed Ksuva, the second one we discussed some aspects of Ksuva, and then we began to discuss the relationship between Kiddushin and Nisuin. And tonight I want to begin with the, we'll start going forward straight. So I want to start with the Mishnah here. We did the Tosfos on the Mishnah, but I want to start with the Takana of the Mishnah. So the we already noted, we talked about the second Tosfos, that the Masechta begins in a kind of an interesting way by discussing the proper or the appropriate day to get married. Not how to define chuppah or nisuin, which is a little surprising, but we'll get back to that point. I made a suggestion about it already, but what's the proper day for a wedding to take place. So the Mishnah says that Besula Nises Liyom HaRevi'i Liyamana Liyom HaChamishi, that if it's a first marriage for her, then the marriage should take place preferably on a Wednesday, and Amana it should be on a Thursday. And the Mishnah explains Shepamayim B'Shabbos Bate Dinim Yoshvin Ba'ayaros, because twice a week the Bate Dinim would come even to the smaller cities, and they would set up, the court's presence there. And the point is, Shem Hayalotinus Besulim Hayamashkim Lebezin. If there was some sort of accusation that she had misrepresented her status, then they could just march off to the Bezdin and try to resolve the matter, quickly, and so on. That's the Mishnah. So basically the Mishnah says that the reason for choosing a particular day, in the case of Besula at least, first-time marriage, is in order to resolve a dispute that would arise, that could potentially arise, about her status as a Besula. Regarding the Almana, the Mishnah doesn't say why. Later on, the Gemara Daf Hei Omer Aleph says it's connected to Bracha, and what we call Shoktu, which we'll get to anyways pretty soon. Meaning the Torah in Sefer Bereishis, especially in Parshas Bereishis, and again in Noach, speaks about pru urvu, the bracha for people, for animals, for fish. So that has to do with Yom HaChamishi and as a preferable day for marriage for an almana. But for Besula, the Mishnah explains that it's due to this problem of Tainus Besula. Okay. So the first thing to note is that this seems like a little bit puzzling, meaning we pick a day, normally we associate marriage, and it's a good thing, with joy and, idealism. So the day that we pick for a marriage is contingent upon, the possibility that there's some sort of a fraud and, feelings of deceit. And possibly wrongdoing. That's a little bit strange. At least it's a little jarring. It could be they were just wrong. Maybe we shouldn't be looking at the chosen day, for a wedding in such idealistic terms. But normally, I found in my I wouldn't say years of experience, but in my experiences, normally the idealistic posture is the right one. So we'll stick with that certainly as a default. So it's just strange to me, at least, when you read the Mishnah, that the Mishnah seems to be so negative about the whole thing, meaning where we're picking a wedding day, to avert, disaster, but we're kind of anticipating all sorts of charges and countercharges that are very unpleasant, to say the least. Okay. The truth is, not only I'm focusing on idealism and unpleasantness, but the Balei Tosfos themselves ask the question in a different way. If you look here in the bottom, we're going to read the whole Tosa soon, but just look for a minute at the bottom of, thank you so much, the bottom of Tosa, and thank you very much, the bottom of Tosa on Beis Amud Aleph, Dibra Maska, the long one, which we're going to discuss, Im Hayelo Tainus Pesulin. So look at when it stretches to the big lines. Let's see where the transition is to the biggest lines. So go over a couple of, you'll see there's a dot or a period, and then it says Vitema. Everybody have that? At least in my, I assume that Surah Gemara is pretty much the same? Okay. So Vitema, Tosa says, The Hachim Ashma, the Mishum Chashosh Adiznus, Tiknu Shatehei Nises Bervi. It seems that the Mishnah is worried that maybe she was unfaithful to him, or at minimum, misrepresented her status and was involved, you know, improperly, before he knew her, one or the other, maybe even Znus, as we'll discuss. And if that's the case, that's really strange, because with Perek Beis de Gittin, Ikaman Damar de Tiknu Zman Begittin, Mishum Peri. There's a debate. Why do you have to write the date in a get? So the Gemara has a machlokas. One is Mishum Peri, because it affects, how long can he be, appropriately or, rightfully eat the peros, that result from her property. The concern that maybe there was some sort of improper behavior here, that there was some sort of nus, and that if you don't have the date, that there could be a cover-up, to try to protect her when she was guilty of something. That we don't worry about, says the Gemara. Lo chai shinan. That's the operative thing that we're interested in the moment. In other words, the Gemara in Gittin, seems to indicate that typically, Baruch Hashem, we don't assume people are unfaithful, and we don't make takanos based on the possibility that they are. I would argue that has both to do with percentages, as well as what I said before. I mean, we don't default. People have cheskas kashrus, and we don't assume that they're involved in improper behavior. We know that sometimes human beings are, unfortunately. The newspapers catch every single one of those, and so it seems hopefully more than it really is. But Znus is lo shchiyach, and you don't make takanos. That's what the Gemara says. So Tosus is saying, so if that's the case, how come this Mishnah is telling us that we pick a wedding date based on the possibility that, there are going to be improper behavior and this kind of a messy court case? Okay.
Maybe it's not because of improper behavior.
Okay,
it's just the guy, he wants to make trouble, that's all.
So we'll get to that also, but you mean that he shouldn't be able to make trouble?
He shouldn't be able to make trouble.
Okay, that's good. I think that's possibly correct as well. But I'm just going to fine-tune that a little bit more as we go forward. Anyway, it also gives two answers to this question, which I want to get on the record, and I'll get back to what I think maybe they mean in a broader way later. But Tosa says, V'yeshlamar d'hasam ka'amar znus d'asi l'day misa d'ayna ba'asro b'edim lo shchiyach. One possibility is that the znus, in a case which is prosecutable and in which there can be a death penalty or penalty, that, whether it's hasra, whether it's edim, that's lo shchiyach. But here we're talking about lesar isha al baila or l'hafsid k'suvasa, as the case may be. And therefore, there is room for a takana. That's one answer Tosas gives. Inami, another answer. They're worried about a single event which may have taken place, which might be a basis for a cover-up of a crime, etc. We're not worried about the one-time event. But here, basically, what we're concerned is that if something really happened here, if there's an accusation and we can't prove it, and really there is guilt, that, this is, Amir Hashem, going to be a very long, we also hope also happy, marriage. So by not knowing, he'll potentially be, in violation of the Isur of Sota, for years and years and years. So to be extra, extra careful, right, we take this seriously. And that's the answer that Tosfos gives. But I'd like to suggest, I guess, a third answer, but one which is based pretty much on the second answer as we go forward, but we're not there yet. I just raise this because it's I'm just trying to point out that it's a strange way for the Masechta to begin, and it's a bit of a strange takana as well. The truth is, it's a strange takana for another reason, and that's the reason that Tosus asks in the beginning of this long Tosus. If you see here, Shim Hayelo Tainus Besulim, Tosus asks the following question: Bim Tomar, Hotanach Eishes Kohen Obchusa Mibas Gimel, Talek Elachad Sveika, Kedamar Begemara, Aval Shar Nashim Deika Svek Sveika Amay Tinase Liom Dalid. Okay, so what does that mean, basically? So turn just for a minute to the Gemara on Daf Tes, Amud Aleph, famous Daf Tes of Ksuvis, like one of the most sought after Dapim in all of Shas. There are places, you know, when they learn the first parak of Ksuvas, where they practically go straight to Daf Tes. Okay. We like to learn the other things too, but it's we can understand why. It's a wonderful Daf. So on the top of the Daf, the Gemara says as follows. Ha'omer Pesach Pasuch Matzasi, Neman La'osra Alav. What does this mean? He, right after the wedding, right on the wedding night, so he basically says, you know, you presented yourself as a basula, right? And from my what I can tell here, that's a misrepresentation. Pesach Matzuach Matzasi. You're not a basula. Oh. So basically, the Gemara says that we believe him. We'll get to back to this. What exactly we mean? We assume A, that he is physically able to discern this, right? And we believe him that he's not. We believe him A, that he's not lying, and B, that he is aware enough, you know, to be making this kind of an accusation. And the result then is Neman Laosra Alav. The Gemara explains that this is based on the principle of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Isura. Even if there's no evidence, there's no witnesses, but he's basically making a proclamation. He's saying, listen, from what I can see, there was foul play here, meaning you misrepresented your status. And therefore, and this is the big question, therefore, he's basically saying, we cannot live together. Why can't you live together? Because the Gemara seems to be assuming that this is the problem of Iser Sota. That basically, he's not just saying that she misrepresented her physical status, but that this reality indicates that she had betrayed him from the time of the Erusin, right? Till the time of the Nisuin. Let's say they got married a few months ago, Kiddushin, right? Her Mekudeshesli, the Erusin. She was an Eishes Ish, but they had no physical relationship until now in the context of the Nisuin. And now he's saying, you know, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. So based on his awareness of what happened, his observation of what happened, basically, if we believe him, from his point of view, she is a Safek Sota, and a Safek Sota is also. That's why the Gemara asks the question right away.
Could have been prior.
What's that?
Could have been prior to the Nisuin.
Exactly. So the Gemara says, Bamai Sfek Sfekahu. Even if we believe him physically, that she is not a basula right now, right? There are explanations, right, which would permit them to live together, because basically it's a sfek sfeka, it's a double suffek, whether or not there's a problem here. What's this double suffek? Suffek tachtav, suffek ain tachtav. That's exactly what you just said. In other words, maybe she did represent her status, but maybe whatever happened before the Erusin, right? Not after the Erusin. She wasn't an Eishes Ish. There's no Sota, right? Or, Imtim Salomar Tachtav, even if we were to know for a fact that whatever took place happened after the Erusin and she was an Eishes Ish, perhaps what happened was Safek Ba'ones, Safek Beratzon. Maybe it happened against her will. She was, attacked in some way, or she was raped, basically, and as such, she's not Asura Labaila, right? So the point is that even if the facts on the ground are as he presents them, it's a spek sveka, it's a double suffix. We're always makil, that's one of the things I want to talk about tonight. We're always makil and a double suffix, right? And therefore, even though we're saying Shavi Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura, we can believe him about what he's saying, but all he's saying is that physically, right, something is untoward here. There are enough explanations that, you know, we can still, or should still, be Mekel, in which case you shouldn't be Asurala. So the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, Be'eshes Kohen, V'ibay Seima, Be'eshes Yisrael, U'kagon De'kibel Ba'avua, Kiddushin, P'chusim, Yivaskim, L'shanim, V'yom Echad. Very fascinating. The Gemara says that we must be talking about one of two cases. Either she's an Eishes Kohen. If she's an Eishes Kohen, the rule that Anusa, that if she was forced, that she's not a Asura Labaila, that's true for an Eishes Yisrael. It's not true for an Eishes Kohen. Right? Sadly, but an Eishes Kohen, even if it's Anusa, there's still an Iser Sota. So if it's an Eishes Kohen, there's only one Suffolk, not two Sveikos. Or, let's say the Eirusin took place when she was less than 3 years old. Okay, the father can give his daughter to be, you know, miskadeshes. So even if she's less than three, probably not a very frequent occurrence, but let's say it happened. So the point is that if it's Pesach Pasuach, if he physically discerned that, you know, she had had a previous relationship, then that could only be post 3 years old, which means post Eirusin. And if it was post Eirusin, then there's no Suffolk Tachtav, Suffolk Ein Tachtav. The only Suffolk that's left is Suffolk Beones, Suffolk Beratzon, one Suffolk. And that's what we're dealing with. And as the Gemara basically says, if we had a typical case of a regular, you know, woman and a regular man who got married, a Yisrael, you know, where the Eirusin was after she was 3 years old, then it would be Svek Sveka. And it would be Heter. He'd be able to live with her. Otherwise, if it was Eishes Kohen or Pusa Mibas Shalosh Shanim Yom Echad at the time of Eirusin, that's Suffolk Echad. Sveka Doraisa is L'chumra, and then we'd apply the din of Shavi Nafshachat Chatichat Yisrael. That's the Gemara on Daf Tes Omer Aleph. So the Bali Tosas asks a very simple question. If it's true that a typical Yisrael who marries a Gedola, or at least somebody who's more than 3 years and a day, which is mostly what's going to be happening, right, if that's the case that we're talking about when we're trying to prescribe an ideal day for, you know, for a wedding, which day of the week is best for a wedding, right? So the Mishnah's going to tell us Yom Ravi, because maybe he'll say, you know, maybe he'll accuse her of misrepresenting her status, right, and of possibly betraying him, and then he'll be able to go to Bezin the next day. But the Gemara says very clearly, unless we're dealing with Eishes Kohen or Pusa Mibas Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Echad, in which case there's Safek Doraisa, you know, that you should be worried about L'chumra, we're dealing with Svek Sveka. If we're dealing with Svek Sveka, then what's the problem? Now, I started by asking, by quoting the Bali Tosis' question, Znus Eino Shchiach. So Znus Eino Shchiach, you're going to make such a takana, dafka to get married on a Wednesday, right? I'm just pointing out now, the beginning of Tosis asks an even more powerful question, and that is, even if what he's saying is true, not only is Znus Lo Shchiach, it's a Svek Sveka. And Klali Hachra, the rules of resolving Sveikos, are that when you have a double Safek, we are always Mekil. So for Mekil, what's the point of the Mishnah? Why do you have to be Mashkim Lebezdin the very next day? That's Tosis's question. So Tosis ends up suggesting, where am I here? Oh, okay, back to that base of Manala for a minute. We'll go back to the Tesses later, but this is Tosa's question. Im Toma, one more time. It's very good and fine if we're dealing with either an Eishes Kohen or Pusa Mibaskim L'shonim V'yom Echad. It makes tremendous sense to say that, you know, if there's an accusation, then there's a Safek Sota, and you have to promptly deal with that. Kidaminim B'Gemara. Aval B'Shar Nashim, but a typical marriage, the ika svek sveka amai tinase liom dalad. So the Tosis answers, v'omer Rabbeinu Tam, the lo plug rabbanan bitakanta. The Chachamim wanted to make an across-the-board date for the marriage, and they decided that since it's going to be helpful in the case of Eishes Kohen and Pusa Mibaskim L'shonim V'yom Echad, so they're going to carry it through across the board. Of course, the problem with that is, number one, it's unpleasant. Well, what I mentioned before, the unpleasantness, the, you know, choshed b'ksherim, the idealism of marriage, the chashash znus, you have all this stuff, and now we're being told that it's for, you know, X percentage, a small percent, 10%, 9%, 12%. Of the cases. So for 12% of the cases, we're going to insist on a wedding date, which brings all of this unpleasantness up. Very strange, but that's one view. That's one of the views of Bali Tosis. The Meiri Alatar, actually the Rajba quotes this as well, others quote it, suggest other answers to this question. For example, one view the Meiri quotes is that maybe we're worried about the ksuba. After all, it's only a sveksveka because we're trying to figure out whether or not she was mezana, I mean, whether she betrayed him, and it's a safek or a vadai sota. But if all we were focused on was not the heterisha labala, but if we were focused on the ksuva, right, which is also part of the marriage, then you know, it wouldn't be a sveksveka. Because even if she misrepresented, let's say, when she got married to him, the time of the Erusin, let's say, or before he wrote the ksuva, whenever that was, we talked about that a little bit for the Rambam, then if she misrepresented her status, that's a mekachtos, right? So safek tachtav, safek ein tachtav, is no longer part of the equation. All it is safek ones, something happened to her, safek ones, safek ratzon. But if it was ratzon, even if it was not tachtav, since it was prior to the writing of the ksuva and he was misled, she would still lose her ksuva. That's how the Meiri reads the, you know, Mishnah. The problem with it is, and the Mishnah speaks about Tainus Besulim, sounds like it's more than that. And not only that, but the Gemara in Tesum and Beis, which we'll look at in a minute, seems to reject the idea that the Mishnah is referring to the ksuva. So that's a good effort, but a problematic one. On the other hand, it puts ksuva right at the beginning of the Masechta, if it would be true, something which relates to our Hagdam. The Meiri has another suggestion. Really, the Rajban Daf Tes has another suggestion. The Rajban says as follows. What does she say when he says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi? Right? So she's not silent, presumably. She responds. She says, not true, it's a lie. Makhishaso. So if she says Makhishaso, then she's not saying it happened, you know, Shalot Tachtav, or it happened bonus. So that's the Rajba quotes such a suggestion, and the Meiri quotes such a suggestion. It's not. It's only a Sveksveka if we don't know what she's saying, right? But in the case of the Mishnah, right, where he's taking her to Bezin, and she's saying whatever she's denying it. Right, so she loses the benefit of the sveksveka because the sveksveka is supposed to help her, right? It's supposed to absolve her, but it's inconsistent with her claim. Now the Rajba himself doesn't like this answer. The Rajba says, "Listen, she is embarrassed. She's humiliated, right? So instead of saying this terrible, you know, thing happened to me." You know, which would explain exactly what happened. You know, she says it didn't happen. Either she's, you know, psychologically in denial, or she's mortified and she's embarrassed. So the Rajba says, just because she is makhish, and that works against the sveksveka, which is on her behalf, we ignore that. We don't believe her when she's makhish. The Meiri says something different. The Meiri says, if this is sveksveka, when she's quiet, her argument that she's innocent can never be worse than her silence.
It's like a migo.
Like a migo, kind of a reverse migo a little bit. So I'll get back to that also. That's an interesting idea. Yeah.
Well, it's like you could argue that he doesn't have standing because if it's sveksveka, he can't take it to Bezdin.
Oh. What do you mean by that?
I mean, because as a matter of, well, we would say as a matter of law, he doesn't have the potential of a good claim.
So you're quite saying Tosa's question is even stronger in a way.
Right.
Okay, so I want to get to that idea. I just want to elaborate what that means a little bit more. Okay, let's get to it actually now. So basically, Tosas is very difficult, but Tosas is consistent with the Gemara, and Tosas is working with the facts as the Gemara understands them. Name is a Sveksveka here, Sveksveka is Lakula. It's very strange to have such a takana. There are a lot of difficulties. Rashi, as we're going to see in a moment, I just started with Tosas because it's easier. But Rashi seems to be aware of these problems and therefore adds something in the Mishnah which the Rishonim noted. But the question is, how does he get out of the problems? And that's what I want to speak about the most. But first, seems like you had a question?
When you say fake,
yeah.
Isn't that irrespective of what the credibility, if she says anything, right, or what her credibility?
Well, that's what the Meiri says. The Meiri says, if there's a sveksveka and she doesn't have to say anything, then her effort to defend herself is never worse than her silence. But But I think we could all agree that that's an open question, meaning you can be hoisted on your own petard. In other words, if you'd been silent, then we would have said Svexveika for you. We would have said maybe it was Ones, maybe it was Shalotachta. By saying, it's almost like, you said it's like Migu. It's almost like Migu lamafrei alo amrinan, you know what I mean? But on the Svexveika part, meaning, you know, if she left it all alone or she wasn't here to answer, we'd say Svexveika, but she ruins her own case by claiming her innocence. She stakes her innocence on her claim. And therefore, the other claims that will absolve her, you know, basically she's giving up on them. So it's an open question. I think it's an interesting question, right? If she wasn't part of the Din Torah, we would say Svexveika, right? By trying to defend herself, she raises the stakes in a way.
Right.
So she's the victim of her own defense attack.
Right.
Yeah.
Svexveika or not, he doesn't want to live with her. The whole question is here, does she get Haksuva?
No, not completely. Let's say he does. We're not sure. We're not sure what he wants. Again, the Miri thought it was about her getting her Haksuva. And the other Rishonim said, no, it's not about the Ksuva. It's about Heter Isha Labala. He doesn't know. He comes to Bezdin. Bezdin has to tell him what to do or advise him what to do. Oh, so listen to this. Look at Rashi for a minute.
Shema Yisgara Daita, right?
Shema what?
There always a reference to Shema Yisgara Daita.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second, Rashi.
You know what I mean?
We're worried that
one day, and he'll forget about the whole thing. That's what it sounds like.
That's what Rashi's saying. Yeah, right. Yeah, we didn't read it yet, but yeah, 100%. We'll get to that in a second. So let's look at Rashi. So Rashi explains here, B'sheni b'chamishi, achas me'eser takonos shetikein Ezra b'bavakama perik meruba, right? Mefarish the kula, fine. This is one of the 10 takanas that you should have a standing bezin on Mondays and Thursdays. Okay. Well, kach tiknu shetinase b'rivi, and therefore they made this takana that there should be a marriage. The marriage should take place on Wednesday. Shema yolatinus besulim yashkim lebezdin ba'od kaso alav, which you were just referring to, while he's still angry, while he's still upset, right? Avim yesh shows benatayim yeshlachu shema yitpayes. We're worried that he'll become mollified, right? Umitzkarer daito v'yikaimena, and then he'll decide to stay with her. And what's the problem with that? I mean, why not, if let bygones be bygones, right? If he doesn't mind, everything should be fine. The answer just doesn't work that way, right? Because it's an Isur Torah of Sota. The Torah doesn't think it's fine. V'shema hi zinsa tachta v'nesra lav. We're worried that maybe she's a Sota, and she's prohibited. Kidyalfina bibinistra of initma. It's not, it's not for him to be mochel, right? If she really was mizana taktav, this is a marriage which is no longer viable, right? I mean, it needs a get, but they're no longer allowed to live together. Listen to this. Umitoch sheyavo lebezdin, right? This is where Rashi adds a chiddush. If he comes to Bezdin, yitbarer hadavar, the matter will be clarified. Because maybe Edom will come. Fine. Well, why not on Sunday? That's a different problem. Okay. What does Rashi add here? This idea that the purpose of coming to Bezdin is twofold. Number one, that he should not become, acquiesce to all of this and just, turn his back on it. That's one. And number two is, come to Bezdin, it'll get into the newspapers. People will come forward, will clarify the matter. Okay. But it's a Svexveika. So on the one hand, Rashi adds these things, these words about coming to Bezdin, getting, the word going out. He adds it because he knows it's a problem. Right? On the other hand, how does it really solve the problem? And that's really what the Bali Tosas are bothered by. If you look back in Tosas for a second, Tosas says, Ubekuntras Pirish, that's what we're up to. Shemitokhak itzisbara davar viavo edim shizinsabaratsa, vakasha the perusho. Darminan, the Gemara there in Daftesum Bey says, Omra baya, afana namitnina, ha omer pesach pasuk matasi nemela osra, besula nises, my love the katoim pesach pasuach, vahashta hechi my sirai, lapirisha kuntras. The Gemara there, just look for one more minute. On Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara wants to know whether or not we believe him when he says Pesach Pasuch Matzas. Even physically, I mean, do we believe that he has the expertise, you know, that he knows what he's talking about, basically? Okay. So the Gemara says here, one second. Look on Testament Base. So it says the Gemara says Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. No. One second. Here on top of the page. Here, the Gemara says Tani Rav Yosef. Oh, I'm sorry, Amar Abaya rather. Afana Nami Tnina. This idea that we believe him when he says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, meaning A, we don't think he's lying. B, we think that he has enough discernment, right, to be able to make such a statement, for us to take it seriously. We know this, Tanina, we know it from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Besul Nisus Liom Arvi, Liom Revi in Liom Chamishi Lo, My Time of Mishum Ikrure Daita, again, we're afraid that he's going to cool off, Ulamai. Ilamase of Ksuva, this is the argument against the Meiri. If we're talking about whether or not the Ksuva is being given, right, Nesivla. So what's the big deal? If it's only a question of giving the Ksuva, if he cools off and he decides to give her the Ksuva, it's only money. That's not a problem. Ela la Osra love. The problem is that he can't be Mochel if there's an Iser and if she betrayed him. Udekatayin Mai. What's he claiming here? Lav de katoin pesach pasuach. So the Gemara says, lo, maybe the katoin tain is dumb. Okay. But basically, what's the point? The Gemara is quoting the Mishnah in order to prove that we believe him when he says pesach pasuach matzasi. So Tosa says, but according to Rashi, it sounds like there's something additional in the Mishnah. Namely, that maybe it's sveksveka. Even if it's a sveksveka, but if you go to Bezdin, it'll end up in the newspapers. I don't mean it literally, but meaning there'll be a call that will go out, and people will talk about it, and we'll be able to clarify the matter. So even though it's a sveksveka, if you can get clarification, isn't that good? But the Gemara is proving from the Mishnah that we believe him when he says pesach pasuach. Maybe we don't believe him, but why not go to Bezdin anyway? And you know, the best scenario will be, maybe he knows what he's talking about, maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about, but either way, we'll find out in Bezdin. The Tosa says, it must be that Rashi's interpretation is wrong. Unless, Yeshlomar delomaisi abaya rayelor belazar, elishu baki umakir mupesach pasuach, demena baki lo yetze akova lo yavo lide birur, ki yomru shehuta'a, the sovr shemata pesach pasuach, Tosa says a very interesting thing, which also I want to get back to, and that is as follows. Tosa says, when the Gemara, according to Rashi, brings a raya from the Mishnah, they weren't bringing a raya from the Mishnah because they think it's the same din. It's two different cases. One is, if you have only one safek, that's the Gemara in Testament Aleph, either a bas kohen or p'chusa mibas gimel shanim, there's only one safek, it's a safek d'oraisa, it's a safek sota. And the point is that Naaman, we believe him. If he says Pesach Pasuach, Shav Yinav Shechatichan Diyisura, and she's Asura Alam. That's one halacha, according to Rashi. Second halacha is the Mishnah, which talks about a case of Svek Sveka. But nonetheless, it's good to come to Bezdin, because who knows, maybe there's an off chance you'll get clarity. So what does one have to do with the other? How can you bring a proof from din number four, din number one, from din number two, when they're so different? So Tosa says, the point is, we're not trying to prove the din of number one from number two. We're trying to prove the common denominator between number one and number two. You know what that is? That we take seriously when he says the words, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. We don't say, he might think he knows what he's talking about, but we don't think that, you know, he is sufficient an expert to make this kind of a claim. Because if we don't take him seriously, then even if there's one suffake, we won't take it seriously, because we just don't believe the facts. And even if there's the opportunity of the rumor mill or the newspapers or Bezdin's good offices to clarify matters, we're not going to go that far because we just don't believe the facts. In other words, if we don't think there's credibility to the physical claim, right, we're not going to pursue this case, even if there's only one suffix, or even if there are newspapers, even if there's investigative resources. We will only, it's a fascinating thing, I'll explain what I think it means in a few minutes, we're only going to pursue the case if there's a sufficient credibility to his physical claim. If we think that he's not in a position to make this kind of a judgment, then we don't care about the rest of it.
How do you know that?
He has the burden.
How do you know that?
We don't know it, but Chazal, we're deciding whether or not when an inexperienced person, somebody who should be inexperienced, makes this kind of a claim, right, whether or not we believe them on the even on the physical part of it or not. What they're saying is, we do believe that the physical part of it, the claim is credible, because if we didn't, there would be two consequences. A, we wouldn't even apply the din of Sveika Rabbanan Lekula, because we wouldn't believe the physical reality. B, we wouldn't apply the din of Ayetze Hakol on Bezdin, because we wouldn't go that far. Sorry.
Who had the burden, though? Who had the Olam HaRaya here? Right?
So basically the point is that he has the burden. He has the burden because he's making a claim that something, either of misrepresentation or even worse, of misconduct. She's denying it. And the question is, do we even believe the physical facts upon... Now, there are physical facts here, and then there's the legal implications of those physical facts. What the Gemara is saying is, and what... By the way, if you look at Rashi and Tesumid Beis, you see that Tosus's suggestion, I don't know why they didn't see it, is absolutely correct. Look at Rashi on Tesumid Beis. Dibra Maschil. One second. Afanan Namitnina on Tesumid Beis. The Toin Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Asralav. Here comes the key lines. Velo Aminan Lo Kimle. We don't say he's not an expert enough to make this charge.
Where's the father running with the linens? Where's the father?
What?
The father was supposed to be running.
That's in a case where there's a father and an adult. We were talking about adults. There are no fathers.
In Italy. You didn't know
Baruch Hashem, sometimes they, an adult marries an adult. What's going on here? The question is, if Rashi already believes, right, that go to Bezdin, maybe he'll get lucky, right, because the Svek Sveika to begin with. Where Rashi's saying, even though it's a Svek Sveika, what does it hurt? Go to Bezdin, maybe you'll get, information. So go to Bezdin, maybe you'll get information, and it'll turn out that Kimle. What's the difference? Right? So I want to get back to that. Just give me a couple more minutes and we'll get to the whole thing. Yeah.
But in the case of a Kohen or a Pachas Mishlosh, what would you do?
What the Gemara seems to be saying is, if it's based on the claim of Pesach Pasuach and we don't believe that he's in a position really to know,
right,
we will ignore it. We won't give it credibility. We don't get to the point of... It's only a Suffolk Daraisa if it's true. Right?
No,
even from his own... By the way, even in his own Ischaibus, because it's Shavya Nafsha Chatichan, he believes it's true.
Right.
We won't let him act as if it's true if we don't think he's in a position to determine physically. Again, because remember, there are two conditions. If it's true that Pesach Pasuach, it's then a Safek, not a Vadai.
Right.
It would be then a Vadai, she wasn't a Basula, but it wouldn't then be a Vadai that she was Mizana, Tachtav, Beratzon, right? But the point is that we're only going to get there if we can try, if Kimle. But the question is, why? Isn't that a Safek too? Treat Kimle like a Safek, so that three Sveikos. Or in the case, some cases are, let's say it's Aishas Kohen, and it's Safek Kimle, so it's a Svek Sveika. Go to Bezdin, Yetzei HaKol, what's the difference? So I'm going to try to show in a couple minutes, maybe there's a huge difference. Okay, so what do I mean? What am I getting at?
Can you say Shev and Asher Kadim is here when it's detrimental to somebody else?
Well, put it this way. Generally speaking, not. But the point is, vis-a-vis, it's about him, we know, being married to her. We can't force him to live with her if he's convinced that she is Asura lo. You're asking, what about her? No, I understand. But the point is that we're really not speaking about... So of course, she's affected by the fact that, you know, if he's Asura, if he can't live with her, then their marriage, for all intents and purposes, is over. But it's really his... His status vis-a-vis her is his business. She's affected indirectly. If we wanted to impose a punishment on her in a more direct fashion, we wouldn't do it. But I'd say the secondary ripple effect of Shavya Nafsha, you know, that's, you know, when it's his domain, but then there are ripples.
Oh, she gets that chat.
Yeah, she'll get her exhibit in this case. Collateral. Yeah. Now, collateral. So what's going on here?
Collateral damage.
Collateral damage, excellent. So what's really going on here? So it's very... I think there are two basic approaches I'd like to suggest, and there's much, much more to talk about, but I want to move on to the next topic next week, so let's just say keep it shorter. I think there are two basic perspectives to take here. One is to look at this discussion between Rashi and Tosas in broader terms of Svek Sveka. Okay, and the other is to see something very specific going on here about Ishus. Let's take the first one first and the second one second. Okay, the first one first. So just a little bit of background, and then maybe later, you know, as we do other topics, we'll have an opportunity to speak more about Svek Sveka. But the basic idea of Svek Sveka is, like, we can ask a very basic question. Okay. Svek Sveka is a known principle. We have a double suffix where we usually make all, right? And it's interesting to note that we don't have an explicit source. Now, other klalei hakara, we do have sources for. Gemara says in Chulin, we learned Chulin a bunch of years ago, about six years ago, I don't remember what it was, right? The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tes and Daf Yud. The Gemara speaks about the source for Chazaka. The Gemara speaks about the source for Rov. Rashi there has a very famous discussion. Is there? Do you need a separate source for Ruba de Issa come on and Ruba de Lesa come on? Or can you learn one from a Kal v'Chomer from the other? Maybe you have two sources. Meaning Rove, right, majority, and Chazaka, presumption, very important rules in determining, you know, how to move ahead, how to resolve halachic sveikos. We have Makoros, but not Svek Sveka. Or so it would appear. Svek Sveka is mentioned in many Gemaras. You know, everybody unequivocally agrees that it's Lahakel. But there's no Gemara that says the equivalent of what it says in Chazak and Rov, Minalon, and gives us an answer. So, just very, very briefly, right? There are different perspectives. There are some Rishonim who will tell you, and certainly some Achronim who will tell you, that Svek Sveka is based on other Klalim that exist. That could be one of two different explanations, too. One is Rov. We'll discuss the famous Rajba that the Achronim understood said that, but I don't think he really says that. The Rajba does say in a tshuva, the one we have printed here on the page, which hopefully we'll get to, that Svek Sveka is superior or not inferior to a Rov. That's what he really says. Some of the Achronim, Pnei Yoshua, the Shev Shmaitza, many of them, the classical Achronim, understood this tshuva of Rajba saying, Svek Sveka is a rove. Why is Svek Sveka a rove? It's a composite rove, which makes it maybe a little more problematic, but on the whole, we can understand where the numbers come from. Let's say, well, you have approximately two suffakes that are each a suffak a shakal, like 50-50. It doesn't have to be exactly 50-50, but let's say you have 50-50, so you have a 75-25 rove, which is a strong rove. Rove doesn't have to be 75. Rove can be 55 or 60 or whatever. There are different levels of rove. So we can understand why some people think that Svek Sveka is a rove. Okay, then you don't need a makor. But then you should just plug it in. You should say that all the dinim of rove apply to Svek Sveka. For example, we have a rule, Ein Hochin B'mamon Achar HaRov. The question is whether the rule is really a correct rule or not. I mean, the Gemara says it in a few places. What I mean by it not being a correct rule is that the Rishonim debate whether or not that rule, that statement is an exception or is really the rule. In other words, a typical rove is not motzi mamon. or a, you know, weak rove is not motzi mamon. The stira between Gemaras, we've discussed this also in the past. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that even in dinim nefashos you'll go by rove dayanim, right? And certainly in dinim mamonis. And the Gemara says in Bava Kama and Bava Basra that ain't ochem mamon achar rove. So the Baal Tosfos in different places give different answers. Some think there is such a rule called Ein Hochem B'Mamon Acharov, Motzi Mecharel L'Varaya, trumps even Rove. And others say, no, that's only if you're dealing with a weak Rove. But fine, let's assume for the moment there is such a cloud. Ein Hochem B'Mamon Acharov. If you think Svek Sveka is a Rove, even if it's a composite Rove, composite by composite, I mean you're putting together two different Svekos for 50-50, 50-50 to get your 75-25, maybe not allowed to do that, but assume that you can for the moment. The numbers are there. So whatever you're going to say about Rove, you're going to say here as well. Okay. If, on the other hand, it's not Midin Rove, then there are reasons to be Mechalik. We'll see in a moment that the Rajba and Achuva, you can just look at the question just for a minute, in Achuva, on page 2, says, Shut HaRajba Chelik Aleph Simin Tuf Aleph. Right? Says Sha'alta, there were copies made. There should be Sha'alta Ode, says the Rajba. Rajba was asked a number of questions. One of the questions he was asked is on page 2. Svek Sveka de Kaimelon de Mutter im Neomar Kena fil b'mokom de Iskazaki Sura Olo. Let's say you have a Svek Sveka on one side and a Chazaka, a presumption, on the other side. Ooh, that's not so simple anymore, right? Svek Sveka against a chazaka. So listen to the Rajba. The Rajba, like the supreme, you know, halachist that he is, you know, analyzes it, very, very effectively. Im tomar mutter, he says, lest you say that it's mutter lahakel manasa losa shomer beperik kol ma'arvin afilu besveka drabanan hechnis chazak yisura zuna lechomra. We know that chazak yisura is fatal. It overrides a kula of Sveka Drabana and Lahakel. So maybe it should also override Svek Sveka Lakula. On the other hand, in Tomar Iser, right, Trutzli, Hadamrina Meperakamad Iksuvis, to kill Svek Sveka Mirov, Derovein Amatir B'Yuchsin, the Svek Sveka Matir. The Gemara says later on in Iksuvis that when it comes to Yuchsin issues, probably at a Drabana level, you need Trey Ruby, it's called. One Rove isn't enough, but Svek Sveka is enough. Oh. What does that mean? That means that Svek Sveka is stronger than a Rove. What's the rule in Rove against the Chazaka, against the Chazak Yisura? Ruba of the Chazaka. Ruba Adif. So if Rove beats out a Chazaka and Svek Sveka beats out a Rove, the linear hierarchy should tell us that Svek Sveka beats out the Chazaka. So should we look at the model of Sveka Drabana Lakula or the model of Rove? Why Sveka Drabana Lakula? Well, it's a Kula. But more than that, there are some achronim who say that maybe Svek Sveka, maybe there's no minala, not because it's Rove. Maybe it's Sveka Drabana Lakula. Mm-hmm. Why? The Rambam has this famous shita, with some exceptions, I might add. It's a little more complicated than people realize. But the Rambam's general view is that Sveka Daraisa Lechumra is a Din Drabana. Right? Normally we think Sveka Daraisa Lechumra is a Din Daraisa. It is, for most Rishonim. But for the Rambam, again, there are some exceptions for the Rambam. The most noteworthy and obvious is what we call ikva isura, because if you bring a karban, asham talim, when you have a safek, ikva isura, if you have two pieces on the table, one is chelev and one is shuman, right? And you know you ate one of them, but you don't know which one, but they're both on the table at the same time. That's called ikva isura, meaning the isur was kabua on the table, right? So you bring a karban, if you're not sure, you bring a karban asham talim. That means Sveka, Doraisa, Lechumra. Right? So the Rambam says, yeah, Bikva Yisura. There are some other cases in the Rambam. But anyways, the general view of the Rambam, big chiddush of the Rambam, is that Sveka, Doraisa, Lechumra, mostly is a Din Drabana. So the Shev Shmaitza and others say, well, according to that, you might say that every Safek, every Svek Sveka is really a Safek of a Din Drabana, is a Safek Drabanan. Because Sveka Daraisa, one Safek Lechumra, is a Din Drabanan. So you're dealing with an Isa Drabanan. Now you have another Safek. So that's Safek Drabanan. Well, that's always Lakula. Now, if you ask me, the Rambam, when he speaks about Svek Sveka, does not seem to be saying that. seems to treat Svek Svek as its own entity. We'll explain why later. The Ra'ah in Bedek HaBayis does have this idea, but he doesn't say it across the board. The Ra'ah says about something which we'll, I don't know if we'll have a chance to discuss, maybe a little bit. We'll soon see. The Gemara in Masechet Beitza talks about a certain case, and some of the Rishonim came up with a klal based on this case. I'll read it inside in a couple of minutes. That is that some of the Rishonim were of the opinion, the Ri was of the opinion, that the only Svek Sveka that's mutter is something like Stray Sveki Bitaroves. Okay, what that means is you have a Dvar Yisur, let's say, and it falls into a pot. Okay, where there's Rov Hatter. Right, so that's one Safek, where there's a Rov. Then you take a piece from that pot, something from that pot, and you throw it into another pot, where it's also a miut. Right? That's called Trei Sveiki B'Taroves, because maybe the piece from the second pot, you know, that you're picking up now and eating, maybe it's not the one that came from the first pot, and even if it is, maybe it's not the Iser. Right? But if you had what we call Safek Echad Beguf, Safek Echad B'Taroves, what that means is, this is the Gemara in Beitza, which we'll see in a couple of minutes. Let's say you have a Safek Beitza Shenol de Biyamtov. You had a Beitza, you're not sure if it was hatched on Yontif or not. If it was, it's Muktzah or Nolad, right? So you have a Safek, and then that object, or Safek Trefa, it became mixed up with other things. So that's called Safek Echad Beguf. The Safek Echad B'Tarovis. Now, do you have an intrinsic Safek? You're not sure about the status of this object, this one object on the table. Right? This is a Beitza Safek Trefa. We're not sure about the status of this. And then it also fell in with 100 others, or with 10 others, or with the 5 others. That's Safek Echad Beguf, Safek Echad B'Tarovis. So the Re says, whenever there's Safek Echad Beguf and Safek Echad B'Tarovis, that's not called a Svek Svek. How come? So
it's not ikriyusa,
or maybe it's not. So there are different explanations. We'll get to the other one in a minute. The Ra'an Bedek HaBayis came up with a fascinating explanation. He says the reason is because whenever you have a Safek Bitarov, usually a Safek Echad, one of the Sfekos is Bitaroves, it's not usually a Safek Ashapo. It's usually only an Isur Drabanan. Because it's a beria, or it's a davar chashuv, or something like that. Rarely does something fall into a taroves, and it remains a safek daraisa. Usually we're machmir. So we usually says by the time you get to when you have trei sveiki, the taroves, it's usually sveik drabana lekula. When you have safek echo beguf. Right? Meaning you have the Safek Trefa or Safek Beitza Shenolda. That's a real Safek. L'chumra, Daraisa. Right? So even if it falls into Tarovas, so it's another Safek. Big deal, but they're independent Svekos. There's no din of Svek Sveka Mutter per se, says the Ra'ah. The din of Svek Sveka's Mutter is based on the fact that usually, when it's with two Tarovas, one of them at least, almost always, establishes that we're dealing with a Safek Drabanan. So what the Shev Shmaitza said for the Rambam, generally, the Ra'ah really said to explain the Re of Safek Echad Beguf, Safek Echad B'Tarovas. So for example, plugging it into the Rajba, right? The Rajba says, let's say you have a Svek Svek over here, and a Schazak Yisur on the other side. They clash. And a Schazak Yisur L'Chumra, and against a Svek Svek L'Kula. So he says, I don't know, what model should I pick? Svek Drabana L'Kula? Well, that doesn't work against a Schazak Yisur. Rove works against his Chazak Yisura. We'll see in the continuation, the Rajba ends up saying, Lo Gara Mi Rove. The Rajba happens to conclude that Svek Sveka is not less than a Rove, and it beats out his Chazak Yisura. But for the Ra'ah, right, or the Shev Shmaitz's suggestion of the Rambam, which I don't think is correct, but it's a fascinating suggestion, namely, if Svek Sveka is based on Sveka Drabanan Lekula, then it shouldn't work against his Chazak Yisura. Or other things. So those are two perspectives. There's a third perspective. That is, maybe even if you hold Sveka Daraisa L'Chumra, maybe that's a Chiddush. Ve'in L'Chabo L'Chidusho. You're already pushing it. I mean, the Rambam felt that even that wasn't true. Most Rishonim think Sfeika D'oraisa L'chumra is true. But okay, maybe only Sfeika D'oraisa, not Sfek Sfeika. That's the third explanation. That basically says you don't need a Makar, because the Makar is the Isra of Sfeika D'oraisa L'chumra and no more. But there's also a fourth explanation. And this is the one which I think you said no standing before about Sfek Sfeika? Oh. So this is the idea where the Rajba formulates it. I'll just tell you where the Rav used to say it, but it's really basically the Rajba who says it very clearly. And that is, the idea is that Sfek Sfeika is lacking a Leidas HaSafek. Yes, but you said no standing, if I understood you correctly. Which means there's not enough of a basis, right, to worry about that. I always give the example, you know, you cross the street, right? So, unfortunately, sadly, tragically, there's a very small percentage of people who, when they cross the street, they get into an accident, right? Worse accidents, less severe accidents. But nobody, unless he's, paranoid, when he's crossing the street, says, holds his breath, unless maybe some briskers, but, when you cross the street, the presumption is you're going to get to the other side. You don't even think about it. You don't say, I have a 99.6% chance, or 90, even if it was less, of getting to the other side of the road. There are certain things that we do, which we do with the presumption that there's no problem. Rav used to call that, no leidas hasafek. Now, sometimes that's based on very high percentages. Sometimes it's based on conventional, human conduct. And sometimes it's based on, I would say, considerations. The number of considerations. If it takes the convergence of several factors to create a problem, even if the percentages, right, reflect a rov and a miut, the din of Sfek Sfeika maybe tells us we don't consider that a suffix. In retrospect, when there's a problem, there's a problem. But until there's a problem, right, we don't say, oh, we're solving the problem. We pretend like there's no... We don't pretend. We conduct ourselves as if there's no problem. Okay. Now, let's give you a very quick example. The Gemara Beitza that I mentioned before, if you just look at it for a minute, very, very famous Gemara. I mentioned this Gemara earlier, just the number 2 on the page. Gemara says, Meitzvah. Echad beitza shenolda b'shabbos, echad beitza shenolda b'yom tov, im betalten osa lo l'chassas esakli, lo lismach k'roi amita, av kofa kli b'shvil shenol tishav. Fine. Usfeika asur, if you have a safek, whether something is a nolad b'yom tov, it's asur. V'im nis arba be'elef, and if it then gets mixed up with 1,000 other pieces, kulan asuros. Everything is asur. So number one, the question is, why isn't this fek sveika? Right, safek nolad, and then it was nisarev. That's what some of the rishonim say. That's the re, because that's safek echad beguf and safek echad betaroves. And others say no, the girsa is wrong. There's no such thing. There's no such distinction. Fine. Either way, you see where I underlined here. So the Gemara says seifa asan l'safek treifa. The Gemara says yachi ema seifa nisarva be'elef kula nasuros. Yam rishpishlam but safek yamtov safek chol. What's going on? The Gemara says like this. You have a suffix trefa, or you have a trefa, and it got this arev with 1,000 other pieces that are kosher, right? And it's usr. Why is it usr? Let it be batel. If we were talking not about trefa, but beitza shenolda, we'd understand why we don't rely on rov. Why? Because a davar sheyesh lo matirin. What's a davar sheyesh lo matirin? Beit ha-shenolda b'yantif is either nolad or muktz or whatever it is. You wait it out, wait another, to be patient for another 24 hours, and you'll be able to eat, like Rashi says, mitoch sheyachlenu b'iser tochlenu b'eter. Show a little patience, and you won't have to rely on the rov. That's called davar sheyesh lo matirin. Very good. Now, the Gemara later on Dalet Amud Aleph, we learned Beit ha some years ago, quotes in the name of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, you know what? The din of Dov Sheshul Matirin, not to rely on a hachra, a safek, when you can vadai, just wait it out, right? Applies also in Sveika Drabana Lekula. Gemara didn't think so on Gimel Amid Beis. On Dalet Amid Aleph, they said, you know what, even Sveika Drabana Lekula, if you can wait it out, don't be Mekel, wait it out. Right? What about Svek Sveika? Let's say I have a Svek Sveika, but it's a Dov Sheish Lamatirin. Do you have to wait it out? Rove does. Sveika Drabana Lekula is a machlokas in the Gemara, but it seems like the Gemara concludes yes. It would be sensational if Svek Sveika, you didn't have to wait it out. Right? Oh. But depending on how you read the Gemara, we're dealing with a Svek Sveika.
You can't do that in every case.
What do you mean?
I mean, there's some Svek Sveikas you just can't wait it out.
Assuming you could. Like let's say it's a Safek Nola. Safek Nola, it's Shenisarev. Right? Safek Nola, it's Shenisarev.
It's a reach,
right? Not a Nolad Shenis Arev, but a Safek Nolad, that's one Safek, Shenis Arev, that's two Sveikas. Okay? So that's Svek Sveika, Bedav Sheishu Matir. So the Ran here, if you look in the next piece, says, Umuchach Begemara, right? This is for the third line, bottom of towards the end of the third line. Umuchach Begemara, second. Dechihechi Damar Avashi, the Kodav Sheishu Matir, and Afilab Drabana, and Afilab Elef Labatil. Just like in the Sveika Drabanan Lekula, right? Hachanai Machmir, but Sveika Afilu Drabanan Lekumra. That just as the din of Rove Dov Sheish Lamatirin is not Batel, Huadin Sveika Drabanan Lekula. Miu says the Ran, Besveik Sveika Bidaraisa Inami Afilu Bidrabanan. Even in the din of Sveik Sveika and Drabanan Tzarichiyuna. Wow. Svek Rabbanan and Dav Sheish Lamatirin is a Chomer Machmir. Rov or Machmir, but maybe not Svek Sveika. Why? So the Rajba, next piece, talks about what the case is. Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, Avadokoi, Dia Sveika, Havalei Svek Sveika, Vashori Afilu Bidaraisa. If you had a Safek Nolad or a Safek Trefa, and then it was also Tarova, isn't that a Svek Sveika? So that gets you to the Safek Echad Beguf and Tarovas issue. Fine. Let's go towards the bottom. I'm going to skip this part. Go to the next page for a minute. With this page 2 now, right? So go to where it says Umidiv Rabbeinu Tam, in the middle of the everybody have that? It's underlined. Umidiv Rabbeinu Tam Zal, everybody have that? Nilmod, the kol svek sveka of fila bedavar sheish lamatirin mutala alter. The din of yesh lamatirin, which is machmir in sveka drabanan and in rov, is not machmir in svek sveka. Why? The time of the brisa diktani nisarva be'elef kulan asurish to have a davar sheish lamatirin afila be'elef labata afila haki daf gevadai aval safek lo. But if it was a safek and nisarev, it wouldn't be true. Why? Listen to the rationale. The tama mishum de kol shehu besvek sveika heter gomur mashvile. Vimken afilu yeshal matirin lama hilkach afilu birya, and so on. What's he saying? Svek sveika is not a resolution. Svek sveika is just not considered to be a problem. There's no, like you said, there's no standing. It doesn't register as an issue. Until it's an issue, that's a non-issue. Therefore, there's no Davar Sheish Lamatirin. Davar Sheish Lamatirin means, don't rely on Klali Hakra if you can get a Vadai solution by being patient.
There's no problem.
But there's no Klali Hakra. It's Svek Sveika. We're just saying there's no problem. Right? So, some Achronim suggest, maybe that's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosas in our Mishnah. A little background, a little more background. Again, when we learned Chulin some years ago, so the first topic in the Masechta, not the Akdama, of course, but the first topic is Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shechita Mumchene. There's a Rov, right? When people, when a guy picks up a Shechita knife, we don't think that he's so presumptuous and arrogant, you know, that he would just do that if he didn't have training. So Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shechita Mumchene. So the Rishonim debate, the Balamor against the Ramban and the Rajba against the Ra, big, big debate. And let's say the Shochet is Lefanecha. He's standing there, you can give him a Bechina. A physical Bechina to see if he knows how to Shecht. A Halachic Bechina to see if he knows the Halachos. That's called Efshar Levarer. You could find out whether he's part of the Rov or part of the Miut. Tzorech Levarer or Ain Tzorech Levarer. So the Balamor and the Ra'ah and Bedek Habayis, Balamor in the beginning of Chulin, say, well, if even though Efshar Levarer ain't Tzorech Levarer, the Ra'ah says it's not Rov Metzuyinet, Kol HaMetzuyinet Zoshchin. We know it's not Kol. Meaning Al Pidin it's Kol. The Ritva says, Torah says you can rely on Rov, you don't have to be bigger tzaddik than the Torah. Torah says you can rely on it, even Efshar Levarer. But the majority view of the Rishonim, right, the Ramban, the Rajba, most Rishonim are the opinion that even though we rely on a Rov, but Efshar Levarer, Tzorech Levarer. If you can, unless it's a Miut, right, She'eino Matzui, unless it's such an overwhelming Rov. So basically, what we have in the Mishnah, possibly, this Machlokas, between Rashi and Tosfos, is the parallel Machlokas in Sfek Sveika. Tosfos says, listen, well, you're going to go to Bezdin, you're going to be a Mavar. You don't need to go to Bezdin to be a Mavar because it's a Sfek Sveika. Right? In a Sfek Sveika, Efshar Levarer ain't Tzorech Levarer. And what does Rashi say? You can go to Bezdin, it'll be in the newspaper. You know, it can't hurt. Maybe you'll get Birur out of it. Efshar Levarer, Tzorech Levarer. Now, what do they hold in Rove? Maybe it's the same Machlokas. Or maybe, even if we take the view that in Rov, Efshar Levarer, Tzorech Levarer, maybe what we've just said, maybe Sfek Sveika is better than Rov, not numerically, but maybe there's no later, for the same reason it might be better according to some Rishonim regarding Dovr Sheish Lamatirin. I mentioned that there's, we have this rule, Ein Hochim B'mamun Achar Rov. That's what the Gemara says, anyway. And the Rishonim debate whether or not it's an exception or a rule. Let's assume it's a rule. So there's a famous Tosfos on Daf Tes on the Bay. When Tosfos talks about Lemeis Ve'Lak Suva, the line that we read in the Gemara, so that Tosfos there on the spot says, it seems from the Gemara that you would be Motzi the Ksuva B'Sfek Sveika. I mean, she'd be able to collect her Ksuva, right, from him, since there's a Sfek Sveika in her direction, in her benefit. So the Pnei Yoshua and the Shef Shmait, all the Achronim jump in. They say, what? How could that be? Sfek Sveika is Midin Rov. And Ein Hochem B'mamun Achar Rov. Right? So there are various answers you could give. Maybe Shtar is different. Maybe Ksuva is different. Maybe the relationship between Isur and Mamon in Ksuvan is different. But what some of the Achronim say very clearly is, who said that Sfek Sveika is a Rov? They all quote, the Pnei Yeshua quotes the Tshuva Sarajba, who says, Lo Gara Mi Rov. But the truth is that Rajba didn't say it's Rov, he said, Lo Gara Mi Rov. And the Rajba in Beitza, and the Rajba in Tarsa Bayis, even that Rajba in the Tshuva, doesn't think it's Midin composite Rov. What he's saying is, it's better than Rov, it's not worse than Rov. If Rov beats out a Cheskas Iser, then certainly Sfek Sveika, not because Sfek Sveika is limited to Rov, but because Sfek Sveika is, Rov is some sort of a Mavarer, or maybe a Machria, maybe a Mavarer, but Sfek Sveika is more than that. Sfek Sveika is lack of Leidus HaSafek. Right? So you could say that that's exactly what the Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos is here too, and there are many other Nafka Mina along these lines. What's that?
You mentioned that could be the heads of the Rashi. You said that on...
I always thought this, but then somebody told me recently, I didn't get a chance to look at it myself, that the Ksam Sofer, apparently, here in Madura Basra and Ksuvis, also makes this suggestion.
So this is not a traditional Sfek Sveika here.
Why?
It's independent Sveikas. It's not a Sufik on a Sufik.
I mean, it's not a... Oh, okay. So your question is an excellent question. But you're going back on the Sufik Echo Beguf, Sufik Echo Betarovis idea.
Yeah.
Right? You're saying, this is Sufik Echo Beguf, Sufik Echo Betarovis. This isn't Trey Taruvos. Right? So according to the Re, this should be a problem. Okay. That's what the Ra'ah and the Rabbeinu Tam, this is one of the questions they asked against the Rajba. If you look here very quickly, I don't want to spend too much time, but if you look at the Rajba and Beitza for a minute, And the end of page one. You see, I have it underlined. The third to last line, the last two words on the third to last line. The Koshale Baha. You have that?
Yeah.
Domrina the Braish Parakamid Ksuva is over Pasapasuk Matasinam La Osra, my Tamashavinov Shakatikadisura. Bakshina my Svek Sveka Safik Takhtov Safik Ain Takhtov, Vimtiv Summer Takhtov Zinsa, Safik Ones, Safik Ratzon. Bahasemena Svekos Bos Mikoa Katarov. That's exactly your question. So the Rajma gives a very interesting answer. Bafila Hakya Tadonason Safik Lahakel, Svek Sveka Lahakel. He says Vieshla Tarates, the Hosam Shiny Shiafshal Lodun the Fanechal Bishte Svekos. He says like this. What's the problem of Safek Echol Beguf, Safek Echol B'Tarobas? Why do you need Trei Sveikim B'Tarobas? The reason is because, according to the Re, who says you have a right to look at the Svek Sveikas together? Why not say we have two different Din Torahs here? Let's solve each one separately. In other words, Safek Trefa. What's the difference of Safek Churya Trefa? Or Safek Beitza, if it's Doraisa? Let's assume it was a Nolad or a Chana de Rabba, whatever it is. What's the difference? Sveka Lechumra, Sveka Doraisa Lechumra, right? Aser. Okay. Now it gets thrown into a Taroves. This Dvar Iser got thrown into a Taroves. What's the difference when a Dvar Iser gets thrown into a Taroves? Aser. Right? The point is that why should we? I'll also say it, you know, in a kind of half humorous, you know, linguistic way. Are we dealing with a suffix and a suffix, or are we dealing with a sex faker? You know, the answer is who said these are two different issues. But when it comes to suffix tachtov, suffix ain't tachtov, suffix onus, suffix ratzon, those are not two different issues. We're trying to figure out the conditions of the zus. There are two different things that happen in two different times. Right? These are two different Dinei Torah. We're trying to figure out, is this a Maisa's Nus or is it not a Maisa's Nus? That's the Rajpa's answer. That's a very good question, though. Okay. So this is the perspective that says that basically the Machlokas, Rashi and Tosas here, is the Machlokas, or the parallel to the Machlokas about Rov. It's connected to the broader question about the nature of Svek Sveka and how Svek Sveka lines up with Sveik Rabban Lakula, Rove, etc. Fine, there's much more to say about that, obviously. Okay. I think, however, there's another perspective. And certainly the Ran thought so too. And this goes to the beginning of what we were saying. So let's talk about this for the next 3 minutes before we adjourn. Then we'll spend another few minutes maybe on it next time. And then we'll go on to the Gemara.
So
just look at the Ran for a minute. It's either in the back of your Gemara or I have it here on the page.
You want to learn that Sveik Sveika is no latest on suffix.
Is the latest on suffix or is
no
it
latest on suffix?
Right.
It's never against anything.
What do you mean never against
anything?
I mean,
anything? Never you say Rove against it, this against it, that against it, nothing against it. If there's no latest on suffix,
right,
it's over.
Right. That's what we say. If you hold that way, not everybody holds that. That's why it's going to beat out Eschazik Yisura. It's going to be Kedeged Davshesh Lamatirin. It's going to win in a case of Efshel Avarer.
It's the most powerful head to do.
But let me, before I go on actually, so let me add one other thing. Oh, remember we said that if that's the Gemara says, for the Tosa says to explain Rashi, and Rashi said it himself, how do you read the Gemara in the Tessim base? It's very problematic. So he said, no, that's a different point. We're not saying the Dinan Nemun la Osralav and the din of the Mishnah are the same. The common denominator is whether we believe about the physical evidence of the Kimlay. Right? Correct? Okay. So, and then we asked, what's the thing with the physical evidence of the Kimlay? Just to make it into a Safek. He's a 50% chance that he knows what he's talking about and a 50% chance he doesn't know what he's talking about. Right? He has to be that we believe him about physical Kimlay. Well, what's the special yichus of physical Kimlay? But I think now we understand it very well. Because what we're saying about Svek Sveka is that the issue is whether there is or is not a latest Asafek. And as those will be Machmir, let's say Rashi will say what? The Svek Sveka is also a latest Asafek. Therefore you should try to get beer all day bezin, Efshalavar, Tsarachlibar. That's all fine and good if at least the physical evidence upon which the suffix or svek sveka is based is something we can trust. But when he accuses her, Pesach Pasuach, and we're not even sure that the physical facts are correct, maybe there, Vadai, there's no Leidus HaSafek. That's the point. In other words, sometimes the question of Leidus HaSafek isn't about how many converging factors you need, or what the percentage is. Sometimes it's also about the quality of the Taina or the Safek. Again, let's use your language, no standing. If he is not in a position, right, to be physically observant or discerning enough to know, even if he might be right 50% of the time, right, then we dismiss that as an illegitimate claim. We said that, you know what, that is just not, we're not hearing that claim. He's not Kimle. That's what I think the answer is. Okay, so let me explain, our time is up. I'll just explain the approach. I'm not going to go into the details now, but we started off by asking a question. This is a way to start a Masechta and to pick a wedding date. And Znus is Lo Shchiach, and it's also a Svek Sveika, and even according to Rashi, so what, it's the newspapers will get a hold of it and maybe you'll get a resolution. Oh, so maybe the idea is that this isn't, according to the normal rules of Svek Sveika, we wouldn't bother with any of this. And according to the normal rules of Takana, we'd say Lo Shchiach. But maybe we shouldn't be looking at this in a negative way, we should be looking at it in a positive way. And by that I mean, what could be worse than someone who is Kimle, and who knows that he saw Pesach Pasuach, right, and who has these doubts in his mind about the the character, you know, and the, you know, the integrity of his marriage. So he's supposed to live the rest of his life and on the basis of a Svek Sveika. Meaning, sometimes, even where objectively there's no Leidus HaSafek, it's a mitzvah to try to put to rest, and this is, I think, what you were kind of getting at earlier, or I'm just taking it a little direction, different direction, though. It's a mitzvah to try to put to rest, if you can, doubts. Rather than, it's true, they could live their whole life on the basis of Svek Sveika Mutter. But for him, right, not to get the clarity that he needs is to undermine the marriage. What I'm suggesting is that Yom Ravi, it's not a negative, it's not Shema Zinsa. It's on the off chance that there's going to be a cloud on this marriage, let's try as much as possible to neutralize that. Let's be choshesh, even for a chashash rachok, whether it's Svek Sveika or Shem Yizaneh, to accomplish this. Now the Ran half says it. The Ran says, we'll read it inside next time, and we'll begin with this. The Ran says, there's something wrong here if it's Pesach Pasuach. It might be wrong in a way that there's heter, but there's something amiss, there's something awry in this. She's supposed to be Basula, and she's not. So he says, so then Rami Alei de Beidina, Bezdin has to get to the bottom of it. And once Bezdin has to get to the bottom of it, it doesn't matter that it's a Svek Sveika. At least they should try to be Mevarer. That's the job of Bezdin, right? When Yisrael, there's something wrong. Yeah.
But it still undermines that it is a negative approach, because it's not Shchiach to turn everything over just for the resolution.
No. What's not Shchiach is, what, you only on a Wednesday because maybe he'll have this claim, because maybe... The answer is, on the off chance that it happens, it's worth it to save a marriage, or to put a marriage back on good standing, you know, when there is such a doubt, rather than to poison the environment, you know, for the rest of the... Like the second answer of Tosol. So, you know, all the days of their marriage, there'll be a suffix sota on his head.
He could resolve that no matter what day he got married.
What do you mean?
In other words, it doesn't have to be just on the day that the Bezdin is...
No, that's because of Klurei Daite. He might be, you know, human nature kicks in, he'll say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to leave it. But you know, when he's saying he's leaving it psychologically, he's never really resolved. And that's a cloud. I'll explain more next time.
So we're catering to that cloud.